Welcome to episode 2 of the Family Medicine Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Cody Mitchell-Tree, and today we're featuring another incredible member of the California Academy of Family Physicians as part of our 2014 Year of the Family Physician Member Spotlight. The February spotlight goes to Dr. Marie Ramos. She's medical director of a rural health clinic in Mount Shasta, California, providing full-scope care to the poorest county in California. She served as a minority delegate at the AAFP Congress of Delegates, representing the voice of special constituencies. Today, in addition to her work as a practicing physician, she's a member of CFP's Medi-Cal Task Force, helping to improve access and quality of care throughout California, and lends her voice as a representative on the AAFP's Commission on Membership and Member Services. She's a fascinating and extraordinary person, and I had the privilege of having a conversation with her for this podcast. So good morning, Dr. Ramos. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your background, your journey to becoming a family physician in California.
Sure. I'm a recent graduate from family medicine residency in 2011 and came to California as part of my service for National Health Service Corps. I received a scholarship that paid for medical school during medical school, obviously, and part of the payback time would be to serve in an underserved area, which has always been part of my passion. So we decided to move to Mount Shasta, California, which is in the far northern part of California, and I currently work as medical director of a rural health clinic that services about 20,000 people in Siskiyou County, which is the northern county in California. My practice currently is pretty full spectrum. I do OB with C-sections. I take care of my patients in the hospital. I also have a very active outpatient practice currently.
And did you know from the outset that you wanted to go into family medicine?
You know, I never really knew what family medicine was until I got into medical school. However, I've always known what kind of doctor I wanted to be. I am a first-generation American. My parents are both from Haiti. And my idea of what medicine was essentially the family doctor, the person that would be able to take care of the child and the parents and the grandparents and be able to connect with the family, understanding the family in their social context. Interestingly enough, I didn't know exactly what that was until I got into my first year of medical school. And after doing some rotations, they told me, well, you know, you're describing what a family doctor actually is. I guess I always knew I wanted to do this kind of medicine. I have a heart for serving underserved communities, and I also have a really strong desire to do international medicine, I think partly because of my own background as a child of immigrants who have come to America.
Okay, so you knew exactly what you wanted to do, but you didn't know the exact label, but everything just kind of fell into place for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, I knew that I wanted to be, I wanted to affect families. Mm-hmm. I understood early on, meaning like in junior high, that the family unit really is the crux of where we are in society. And the two biggest influences for me growing up were my doctors and were my teachers. I was quite sickly growing up as a child, and so I was in and out of the hospital and seeing my doctors quite frequently. And so I thought about becoming a teacher, but for one reason or another, my heart was really tugged towards becoming a doctor. And I think what solidified it for me was that I had an opportunity at the age of 13 to become the state spokesperson for the National Lung Association in the state of New Hampshire, and advocating about health and health wellness to young people like myself, and being a prominent face for that, I think that solidified the impact that a person in the medical field can have on the greater community.
what do you see as the greatest challenge or opportunity for family physicians over the next 5 to 10 years?
Sure. Obviously, I'm really excited being a young physician in this climate currently because everyone's ears is put towards healthcare and healthcare reform. Thanks to President Obama and his efforts in trying to just fill in the gap of disproportionate healthcare to the underserved. I envision that family medicine and family doctors would be able to start to take a prominent role in the decision factors as far as how do we implement this grand idea of providing healthcare for everyone, understanding that healthcare is a right and it's not a luxury. I'm really proud to be a part of the CAFP and as well as the AAFP because we've been very prominent roles and voices during this process. So, I think that the biggest thing is that for so long, in general, as physicians, we haven't taken the time and priority to create a presence in politics because we've been so driven to take care of patients. And I think now, given the current climate in the government and in our culture right now, this will be a great time for us to seize that opportunity to rebuild that faith and to put a new stamp on what, especially for family doctors, what a family doctor can provide and who a family doctor is.
Yeah, absolutely. And in just a short, probably 4 or 5 months, a lot of graduating residents will be transitioning into practicing physicians. So what sort of advice would you give to those residents?
I would give them the same advice that I received from my my mentors, and that is to make sure that, one, you keep your scope as broad as possible, especially the first few years out of residency. I feel that residency is a place where you learn medicine, but those first few years out of residency, that's where you learn to really become a doctor. That's where the art of medicine comes in. So I would strongly recommend new graduates to keep their focus as broad as possible as far as their skill set is concerned. There's always time to narrow down, but if you've lost certain skills, it's very hard to regain them in this current climate. And the second thing is to get involved. One of the reasons why I feel so strongly to get involved is that, we can always complain about the problem, but we can never have any change unless we actually do something to try to create that change. If something is moving a person enough for them to complain and they see something that is recurrent in their surroundings, then as doctors, we are already placed in a very privileged position in society to be leaders. Whether we're natural leaders or not, the fact that we are doctors, people look up to us, whether we like it or not. And I think that it's important to be able to use that positioning in our society to be able to create change. And so that's one of the things that I would also recommend for new graduates and people coming out of residency. Being able to be a part of the change that you want to see is another way to help reduce the burnout risk and to help keep people from becoming disenfranchised with the current politics that are going on. I think that's it.
Okay. And medical students and residents alike, I always get this question from them. It's about work-life balance. And I understand you're married with 2 children. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a son that's 6 years old and a daughter that's 3.
And becoming a physician is demanding, so I'm wondering how you've been able to balance your work life and your kids, your husband, making time for them as well.
I think that's a great question. One of the reasons why we decided to go to a more rural setting after living in a very urban environment before coming to California was, in fact, to have more time as a family. My husband is a brilliant engineer, myself being a doctor that wants to, again, keep my scope of practice very broad, we needed to be in a place that was family friendly, and you know, we need to be able to prioritize, you know, your family first. One thing that my husband and I decided on was that at this point with having young kids, we really do have to put our family first. And so we do schedule around, you know, our family. And something that was important for me was that I wanted to be present to make meals every day and have dinner with my family every day. I wanted to have the luxury of being able to take my kids to school and go to soccer games. Something that I gain by being in this kind of a setting is that I live 5 minutes away from the hospital. And so even if I have a delivery or I need to do a C-section, I'm right down the street from everything. So it's really great because I'm able to work my schedule and be flexible in a way that I may not have been if I was in a larger setting. But with that being said, whether it's an urban setting, an employed model, a self-run practice, a group practice, large or small, as long as a person understands what their priorities are, they can work their schedule and they can work their contracts to be able to satisfy those commitments. The other thing that I've learned is I need to know when to say no. You know, as doctors and as medical students, you know, we're very used to being overachievers and being able to handle it all. And one thing that having children has taught me is that I am not omnipotent and I'm not omnipresent. you know, it's very important to understand really what's your purpose in being a doctor? What's your calling? I truly believe that everyone goes into medicine for, you know, obviously to help others, but there's more to it. And, you know, I would encourage, my new colleagues to think about that, to think about really what is it that you have a passion for? What is it that's lighting your candle, that's keeping you motivated to study those late nights, to take those calls, you know, sleep deprivation. The other thing that's obviously key is having a good support system. And so my husband, as brilliant of an engineer as he is, you know, we made a decision that, you know, at this point of our walk as a married couple and as a family, we do have to focus a little bit more on my career. And eventually there'll be time when we'll have to change focus a little bit more and focus on his career. And so having a spouse, significant other, family, friends that are supportive with your mission as a doctor is always easier. And I think that's the biggest thing that has helped me be able to balance my work and my family life is just having that great support system and having mentors to be able to talk about those struggles.
Absolutely. And so in addition to being a mom, a practicing physician, a wife, you're also involved in academy leadership on various levels. So I was wondering if you could talk about your experience as a delegate to the National Conference of Special Constituencies.
Sure. You know, one of my passions is to be a voice for those who didn't have a voice. And like I said before, I am a first-generation American, and so I was usually the person to be with my grandparents who didn't speak English at their doctor's appointment. I was, you know, my family was poor, and so we grew up, and I grew up and thrived because of federal-funded programs like Medicaid. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to be a physician was that I wanted to be a representation of a population that oftentimes does not have an accurate present representation. So as the opportunity came, there's this great conference called the National Conference for Special Constituencies that actually supports that And it's sponsored through the Academy of Family Physicians. It's a yearly conference that provides people that represent six particular special constituencies, one being minority, another being women, another being GLBT, new physicians, and international medical graduates. And so that's actually five physicians. But the Academy has provided this conference to happen every year to be able to foster leadership skills in people who represent special constituencies that usually don't have a good representation. So I was able to get involved with that a couple of years ago, and that really helped me to be able to understand the procedures, the logistics of how decisions get made and how policies become policy in large organizations. The other great thing is that through this conference, you can also run to become a delegate to the actual Congress of Delegates, which is the deciding representative body for the Academy of Family Physicians. And so this is a really safe place where you can learn to write meaningful policies that can be that can actually impact the National Academy and beyond. And it's also a great way to get involved with leadership. Through this, I was able to become the delegate, minority co-delegate for the Congress of Delegates. And since then, I have been able to actually run, and I did get a position to be part of the Commission for Membership and Membership Services. And so it's a great way to be able to build contacts. It's this year, I'm going to have a shameless plug, in 2014, May 1st through May 3rd this year in Kansas City. And the great thing as well is that the Academy is can pay for one new physician delegate per state. And so every state would be able to have a new physician delegate go for free, which means free room and free board, and free travel to the conference this year.
You were recently appointed to AFP's Commission on Membership and Member Services, so congratulations there. And what's the function of the commission, and what do you personally hope to accomplish as a commission member this year?
Sure. As one of my passions is to be representative for minority constituencies, the commissions are they're special groups that are set apart through the Academy that help focus on particular aspects that that the Academy addresses. And for the Commission of Membership and Membership Services, this is the commission that actually plans and runs the NCFC conference. But then it also looks deeper into how to retain membership, how to gain new membership. This is the commission that does research upon special needs that special constituencies would require, and how can the Academy address those in an efficient way. One of the reasons why I wanted to get involved in this particular commission was, again, so that I could understand a little bit more the process as far as the decision making is concerned. How does the Academy get to certain positions as far as policy? And I can have a hands-on experience with that. I hope that being a young physician who is working in a rural setting, which is starting to become more of a rarity, I'll be able to give a unique perspective as far as what our particular needs are in a rural setting. The other thing that I think would be helpful and that I would hope to gain and to contribute is how are we able to brand the concept of what a family doctor is to our membership and to the greater community. I hope that I'll be able to be a part of that. I know that the Academy is starting to work on, again, the FM 2.0 is going to be another set of objectives on how we can start to broaden the concept and the image of family medicine to the greater community, and I'll be getting involved with that as well. through the Academy in conjunction with the ABFM.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to talk with us.
It's my pleasure.
And congrats congrats on being featured as the February CFP Member of the Month.
It's really an honor to me, and I hope to continue to work hard through the Academy and make the California Academy proud.
We look forward to it. Have a good day.
Thanks, Cody.
I want to remind everyone that 2014 Year of the Family Physician is a collective effort that requires your participation. I encourage you to visit our website at www.familydocs.org and download the 2014 Year of the Family Physician signboard. Then, take a photo with the signboard, and feel free to get creative. Both group shots and selfies are welcome. And the important thing is that the message is clear and visible. You can then tweet or Instagram your photo by using the hashtag 2014YearFP. You can also post it to the CFP Facebook wall, and also email it to us at cfp@familydocs.org. Thank you for listening to the FM Revolution podcast. We'll return next week to feature March's Member of the Month, and several interviews from CFP's all-member advocacy meeting in Sacramento.